If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Barrett. How you doing, man?
I'm chilling. You?
Good, man. Another day in the office. I'm excited. A lot of news have been coming out. We got retired fighters coming out to fight YouTube stars. We got the draft tomorrow night. But I want to start in Tampa Bay because when this team was in that Super Bowl parade and they were talking about, oh, we're going to bring back the band together, they literally just did that because they went and they negotiated with their guy, Antonio Brown, and they bought him back on a one-year deal worth up to $6.25 million. And damn, Pride, I'll tell you again, like I've told you before, I hate being poor. Why can't I have been a little athletic, make a little money, right? But you know, this team has brought the band back together. Like I said, do you think that this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is good enough to make another run at the Super Bowl as it is?
110%. Now, honestly, we've had this conversation before, you know, like amongst ourselves. And even before they even got AB, I'm like, yo, when they brought back, for me, when they brought back Shaq Barrett, in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, it's a wrap because they got him. I think Mike Evans, I think, has this, like, I think another year or two left on his contract. I think they put the franchise tag on Chris Godwin. So I'm like, look, this team as constructed, bro, I don't know, with another year to gel, another year to get comfortable with each other, I just don't see a drop-off coming. I just can't see it, you know? Like, I mean, maybe I could be wrong. It's a possibility. But just right now where I'm sitting, I mean, bringing AB back, people don't understand how good it is to have a guy like AB. Because think about it. Chris Godwin goes down. Instead of having to be like, oh, God, what do we do now? We got a dude who we know.
Oh, no, Scotty Miller. No, you got
AB. I mean, look, I like Scotty, but at the same time, let's call it what it is. He's one of those dudes that his best thing is that when you forget about him, you throw him on the field a couple times, don't throw the ball to him, completely ignore him. That's where his role is perfect. Because then, as you saw, I believe it was against Green Bay, right before the half, they completely forgot about Scotty. And guess what happened? Tom saw him, was open. So that's the best role for him.
And let's be honest, Brian, in that game, that was the play of the game. You know, after that game, Green Bay just cannot come back.
Yep, because they basically hit him in the gut. They hit Green Bay with a gut punch, and they could never, especially the defense, they could never fully recover from that. You know, but I'm asking a question: are you going to take Scotty, or are you going to take AB?
AB all day.
Did you see what I'm saying? So when you bring it back, AB, let's say Chris Godwin, heaven forbid, Chris Godwin goes on, or even Mike Evans too. They go on the COVID protocols. They need to take some time away. You now have flexibility, so now you could be like, yo, Mike, you're banged up. We don't have to force you in the game now to keep our, you know, to keep our position. You're a little banged up. Take the week off. Relax. Sit down. We have a guy who can step up and fill your role. Because AB has shown us he was the number one in Pittsburgh. Now, for all the drama and all the nonsense he was putting up, it's kind of ironic. Every time he linked up with Tom Brady, for the most part, he's been relatively quiet. Which was the biggest concern with Antonio Brown. Can we keep him quiet? When you have a guy like Tom Brady who can keep him quiet and hold him accountable, that's what Antonio Brown needed. You know what I mean? So AB has that in the organization. And it's crazy because at first I was hearing stuff about how he was going to leave Tampa because he already got his ring. And he was thinking about, you know what, I want to get some more opportunities. I want to be that guy in the field, which I understood. But at the same time, I'm like, look, man, I'm not leaving Tampa unless they lose the Super Bowl. If we lose the Super Bowl, oh, I'm gone. You're not seeing me. You feel me? So 110%. Like I said, I thought they were winning before this, you know, but now signing him again, I'm not saying that, you know, that he's the Antonio Brown of old, but he's probably like 80% of what that AB was. And if you're 80% of what that was, you're still an all-pro type player. You're still a very useful, exactly. You're still a useful player. So it's a great pickup for Tampa. It gives them flexibility so guys can sit down, guys can rest, you can be smart. And now instead of having to go, go, go every single week, you end up having like a couple weeks where, you know, we don't really care. Yo, let's get AB some touches. Let's get his momentum rolling. So when we hit the playoffs, there's one more weapon they got to worry about. So I definitely had Tampa winning, but now, you know, it just seems like it's just going to be a rematch. You know, I mean, I don't know, JJ. I'm looking at a rematch, and I'm telling you this right now. In a rematch, I'm rocking with Tampa. The score will be closer, but I'm still rocking with Tampa, JJ.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a Mahomes boy, guys. So, you know, I'm hoping that the Chiefs do make it back, even though I do love Brady. It's a very conflicting heart matter for me because I love them both. But I will be rooting for the Chiefs, my homeboy. Anyways, you know, I am happy that Tampa Bay was able to keep AB back in their team because, let's be honest, you know, there was talks about him possibly going to Baltimore and linking up with Hollywood Brown, his cousin, and Lamar. And then there was rumors as late as last week where, oh, the Chiefs might be interested and maybe they want to get him. But I think everybody who knows this game know that the best fit for Antonio Brown was to stay nearby Brady and stay put with his Buccaneers team because it really is offers him the best position, not only to be productive, but to win. You're right, Pride. I think we're destined to see another rematch of last year's Super Bowl with hopefully a more competitive game. You know, Mahomes was running for his life with those tackles being gone, but now they went out, got Orlando Brown Jr. from the Ravens. You know, he's better than any guy you were going to grab at 31. So I think it was the correct pick. You know, I think that's definitely solidifies their line. Kid's 24, so he's going to be there for a long time too. So I think that they definitely made a great move for them. But nonetheless, I think that Tampa Bay was already going to go to the Super Bowl. I think they were going to represent the NFC because I just don't like the field enough to beat them because I feel like, to me, their biggest competition was the Packers last year. And the Packers were at home, and they still couldn't get it done. So what makes me believe that if they played again, it's going to be a different result? There isn't pride. You know, so with that being said, I agree, man. I think that this Tampa Bay team, they'll get there. But I think that the Chiefs are going to have something to say come that time.
Yeah, like I said, I do expect it to be a closer game. But it's kind of funny how you mentioned the Packers game because everyone was saying, oh, my God. How is Tampa Bay, how especially Tom Brady, how is he going to survive in the frozen tundra? I'm like, look, I get it. He lives in, you know, he moved to Tampa Bay. But did he just get drafted by Tampa Bay or something? Like, wasn't this man, like, over, like, a decade plus over in, a place called New England where, like, it snows in spring? Like, what is this notion that when people were saying that had me hysterical because I'm like, I didn't realize that Tom always played in warm weather places. But a thing you did say about the field, it's true. Because at this point, the only legit competition I can see in the NFC right now is the Packers. That's really the only team that can
I would dispute that maybe the LA Rams could be a competition, but we've yet to see them with Stafford. So that's to be determined at the moment.
Right, but at the same time,
is amazing. You know.
But the thing is, but let's be honest, as much as I adore the Rams and what they're doing, are we really going to say Matt Stafford brings them up that much to the point where all of a sudden they can compete with the Buccaneers? Because look,
playoff team last year with Jared Goff. Yeah,
hold on. A playoff team and a contender are two completely different things. You know what
I
mean?
Like, I get that, but look at the division they're coming out of. The NFC West. That's a pretty tough division.
Okay, but so here. Okay, so let me ask you a question. In the playoffs, Rams, Bucks, who you got?
Oh, I got the Bucks. I'm not saying that they're not. But am I saying? But am I gonna call it 31-13? No, I think that'll be a tough game.
I'm not gonna say 31-13. I'll be closer to 31-21. I think it'll be a touchdown and a field goal. Yeah, like that's kind of the route I'll go. But at the same time, like if you look at the field, I mean, San Francisco, they do have it is possible. But at the same time, it's kind of like, is Jimmy G going to go down again? And then depending on what they do with the draft, who they get, because that kind of
– I'm saying, probably, let's just say, like, I'm not going to obsess over the Rams, but I'll just say let's just make a scenario where the Rams under Stafford, let's just say they average 28 to 30 a game. That's quality right there. That's definitely a premium in offensive scoring that they didn't have from Jared Goff last year. So with that, and then you add that defense, we're talking about a pretty solid team. You're talking about at least top five in the league, maybe, you know, top seven.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, there definitely will be a solid team, but the Bucks ain't a solid team, though. You see what I'm saying? Like you're talking about a solid team to a great team. And, you know what I mean?
And this is all thinking that Brady is going to maintain his level of play.
Exactly. Because that's honestly, I have two caveats with me going with the Bucks. Because there's this Tom Brady cliff theory. Now, I'm on record. I don't think Tom is going to fall off a cliff. I think we're going to see him year by year by year, him to gradually decline. To the point where you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, oh, okay, this is kind of what it normally looks like. Like, one day you're great, and then there's a slow decline. So, I don't see him – as long as he doesn't step off a cliff and barring injuries. Because, again, just two injuries can destroy a team. You know what I mean? So, those are the only two things. Like, but even then, even with injuries, I still don't see anybody. Because, again, the Saints without – well, I can't really say – what's going to happen with them, because again, there are rumors that they want to trade up to get one of these quarterbacks. Now, I doubt they'll be able to. I just don't think they have enough to maneuver it and make it work. And then, like, after that, it's the Packers. You know, the Packers are still a threat. Let's not get it twisted. Yeah. But at the same time, after that, the other teams, like you said, they're solid teams, but they're not a team that's like, oh, yeah, you got to be careful about that. There's no teams like that outside of the Packers. I just don't see anything. So, again, maybe it's just me, but I just see Tom Brady and the Bucks literally cruising through, then hitting the Packers, and then that will be – I'm hoping it's a good game. Really am. And then I do have – I'll have the Bucks beating them by a touchdown, and then on to, Super Bowl where – Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever grace God's green earth, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., baby, where he smacks Patrick Mahomes again and put Pat in his place because he's the GOAT.
Well, my story is different because Mahomes takes the torch from Brady gracefully and he sends Brady home. But
honestly, I'll be honest with you though. If Mahomes can beat him and he can have a great Super Bowl performance, that argument, not only will it be made, but some validity is going to be attached to that argument. So I kind of do want to see them meet again in the Super Bowl to see, okay, let's see, you know, does Tom still have it, or is it now officially Mahomes' time to take over the league? So, you know, there's a lot of storylines going on throughout this league, bro, and honestly, I just can't wait, bro.
Me too. And, you know, just before I pass on to the next topic about Mahomes and Brady, so early in his career, he's already bumped the roads in the playoffs with Tom Brady, what, 3-4 times? So that just shows you he's on the right path because he's bumping heads with the right people that he has to come across.
It's like they're destined to dance forever.
Exactly. But, you know, I do want to transition to the fight game because, hey, news came out. Floyd Mayweather's coming out of retirement, guys, and he's going to fight YouTube sensation Logan Paul. You know, and to help us talk about the topic, our third member of our Stir the Pot crew guy is finally in. Sander, welcome. I'm glad you guys could join us. Finding time for the Logan Paul versus Mayweather conversation. It's happening, and I can't believe it. And it's going to happen in Miami, Florida, in Dolphin Stadium, Hard Rock Cafe, and there's going to be fans. And Floyd told Logan Paul this: I'm only going to fight you if we could sell the house. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. Boom, it's time. So tell me, what you think about this fight, Sander?
Well, is it really a fight? I mean, it's really just an exhibition. To me, it's an exhibition. It's just, I guess Floyd is never going to turn down money. Any chance he gets to make a few million dollars and, you know, add it to the bank, he's going to take it. This is just a definition of a cash grab. I'm excited for it, though, because we're going to see the greatest boxer of all time fight a YouTuber and shut him the hell up. Probably send a message to all these YouTubers that are trying to fight, you know, starting to fight in the fight game. You know, you got Jake Paul over here knocking out retired MMA fighters and other YouTubers and basketball players. Now you got his big brother who, you know, has some size to him. If you ever seen Logan Paul stand next to Mayweather, the dude is humongous. But we're talking about the greatest boxer of all time here. We're talking about one of the defensive magician, Floyd Mayweather. He's going to school this kid, probably even, dare I say, knock him out. with, you know, a flurry of punches, maybe, you know, making them go deep in the rounds and just finishing them off. It'll be funny to see. It's kind of like the equivalent of when Mayweather fought the Big Show in WWE at WrestleMania. It kind of gives me those vibes. I don't really sense any seriousness from it. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far as saying this is probably going to be the equivalent of what he did when he went to Japan to fight that kickboxer. It's going to be something like that. I don't really see any competition. Yeah, and that was an easy $2-3 million that he made off that fight just to show up. We're not even talking about how much he made for ticket sales and all that for that. But regardless to what, if there's one thing we know about Floyd Mayweather, the man is about his money. This man is going to get at least $10 million to go into that Logan Paul fight, at least. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's going to get revenue. He's going to get merch. It's just cash grab. Logan Paul, I know he ain't listening, but this guy, I pray you out there training. I pray you out there at least trying to take this serious. Because if you don't, Mayweather's going to toy with you and embarrass you. And I promise you, if you're Logan Paul and you get embarrassed bad, like to the point where it's like, dude, why do you even do this? I see a dip in these guys. I see like a decline in their kind of fame, in the sense where these guys are just, you know, all talk. You know, they're just mouth. You know what I mean? Any real boxer that gets in the ring with these guys is going to shut them up, you know, punch them out. You've seen Tyson Fury's brother going at it with Jake Paul, and Jake Paul doesn't want to smoke with him because that's an actual experienced boxer right there. Canelo offered to have Jake Paul and Logan Paul come spar with them, and they have yet to answer Canelo because they know these guys are serious. But, you know, these guys, these YouTube guys, Pride, JJ, I don't really take them serious. Whatever, man. Jake Paul, Logan Paul, I don't care which Paul's out there. Mayweather's going to embarrass them. It's going to be an easy $10 million. We're going to talk about it for that night, and honestly, it's just going to go by like that. It's really nothing.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
I just want to make sure I have the floor, because this has been bothering me for so long, and I finally can get it off my chest. Okay, this is why boxing is dying. Okay, this is why boxing will die, and then after that, boxing will no longer cease to exist, and then Dana White is going to get so filthy freaking rich, it's going to make me throw up. Boxing is literally killing itself. Hear this, right? JJ, can you put the record up again? Because, I was thinking to myself. I was like, what would be the greatest joke in the history of boxing? Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm looking at here, it says Mayweather, and then in parentheses. So in parentheses, they have something called the record, which is how many fights you have been in, right? And then of those fights, they divvy them up and say how many you won, how many you lost. So Floyd Mayweather is 50-0. Then Logan Paul, 0-1, and his only professional fight is against another YouTuber who threw shots like he was a quadriplegic. What am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do? A dude who I grew up watching boxing, right? I'm talking about Oscar De La Hoya, Juan Manuel Marquez, Manny Pacquiao, Sugar Shane Mosley, Miguel Cotto. These are the dudes. When I think of boxing, that's what I think of. Not some dude who got in trouble because he decided to mock some hanging bodies in Japan. This is what we're talking about here. This is what we're relegated to. This is really what we're talking about in terms of boxing. What was once a phenomenal, great sport, a sport you would look for technicality, for skill, for one man proving he's better than the other. Now we're doing, now what are we doing? Well, honestly, at this point, what are we doing?
Stop looking at it like that.
So as I was saying, Russell, rudely interrupted. This dude, it's a legit 110% joke. The IRS must have came knocking on Floyd's door, because ain't no way on God's green earth this man should be taking this fight. Relax. This straight up is beneath him. I'm going to continue to talk. Now, you can go ahead and you can try and you can go wham, wham, wham off your corner. It doesn't mean this is a good fight. You're a moron if you think this is a good fight. If you think this is a solid fight, you're a fool. You're a moron. That's a joke. That's a straight up joke. So as I was saying, JJ, before I was so rudely interrupted, Floyd is coming out of retirement to fight a dude who has zero credibility at all. At least the dude, at least that kickboxer he fought, at least there was some credibility when he fought that dude. That dude had something behind him.
He's still retired. This isn't going to count on his record.
Whose record is plummeting down, bro. His views are going down with every passing day, and Floyd is going to come out. And look, JJ, you know this. I'm not that big of a Floyd fan at all. I'm really not. I don't think he's the greatest, right? I believe he was a little overhyped. But I will not take the fact that he's still a phenomenal boxer, and he is literally ruining his legacy by coming out and doing some ridiculousness stuff like this. Because you I don't know why Floyd is sullying his good name, bro. This is straight up a joke. Like, and they're hyping this up. Like, this is a title eliminator. What? And what is going on? Like, bro, we're out here hyping up a fight over a dude who's and a retired fighter who's been out of the game for years. Like, I just don't understand. You know what I mean? There's absolutely zero hype behind this fight for me anyway. I don't look at this fight as like, hey, oh my God, I kind of got to watch it. I look at it the same way as I saw that Jake Paul Ben Askren fight. Honestly, it's not hype at all. I'm just looking at it like I'm going to turn my back to it. I don't care. And honestly, it's there. But guess what? If there's anything else on, I'm watching that. Like 110%. Like, no, there's no – honestly, I would rather watch the Magic play the Timberwolves than this fight. That's how low Floyd has
been. Jake Paul and Ben Askren made $1.9 million in pay-per-view.
This is really not that – this is not exciting. There's no validity. There's no weight to it, JJ. And honestly, bro – when one day, JJ, one day, everyone will look at the corpse of boxing, and we're going to ask ourselves, how did we get here? And this portion in time, when we're letting random people who can't spell the word punch step in a ring and call themselves boxers, and we take them serious, this is the final nail in boxing's coffin, bro. And honestly, it's ridiculous, man. Like I said, bro, Floyd, I'm not a big Floyd fan, but I respect him, and he out here selling his good name. There's no need for him to be doing this, JJ. There's no need whatsoever.
Turn down $10 million?
Yeah. No, I get it, guys. You know, I definitely agree. I definitely think that it has a celebrity deathmatch kind of feel. But exactly, it's all about how you approach it and if you want to embrace it. Because the way I look at it as this. It's like the highest tier athlete. I mean, maybe not in his prime right now, but we are going to know that Floyd is an all-time great. And wherever you want to rank him, he's up there in the list somewhere. And then you got like the low tier athletes that are just trying to do this. And that doesn't sit right with me, but I'm all for entertainment. But I do think that it is, in quote unquote, soiling the good name of boxing, because I feel like you named it probably like boxing is just trying to stay afloat. I feel like the fight people that like fight game, that like boxing will watch it, but they're not pulling new fans. Like, you know, they don't have that pool in their market. UFC, I feel, gets new fans every event. Every UFC 261, 262, mm-hmm. 263, there's a new person watching that because the UFC has that pool and has the stars to do it. Boxing doesn't have that. And I feel like they're trying to do that with these low-tier athletes that just ain't it. And they're going to get the attention, Sander, because they are YouTube stars. They do have this social pool for the wrong things because we know him for being a YouTube star, Logan Paul, I'm talking about. Not for being an athlete. We know him as an athlete now, but I think even as knowing him now as an athlete, he's not a respected athlete. And that's why I think we, like Pride, I side with you on this side. We see a guy that we respect like Floyd coming out from heaven to come play with this peasant for 30 minutes, if it even lasts so long. And then he's just going to go back to the heavens and just, you know, I get it. It's very, blah, why waste your time? His nickname is Money. I get it. He wants the money. I get it. It's money. Mayweather, make the money. Feed him up for 30 minutes. Go home. Go to the casino. Win another $10 million. You'll be all right.
So that's what I'm saying, guys. Like, we got to stop looking at it like, oh, I watched Oscar De La Hoya, Trinidad, Cotto. I've seen all
you're
these
dumb
fighters.
But I get it, though.
You can't look at those fights and look at this.
Pride is on a stance that he's a boxing fan. If you're not a boxing fan,
JJ, don't worry about it. This is the point. Fan. JJ, this is the point. This is the point, JJ. Don't even worry about it. Boxing right now, he's the type of people they want to cater to. Just the dudes who will come to see a fight once or twice and then go, oh, that's it. Right now, that's what boxing is desperately coming to. That's what we're reaching for. But the people, because you mentioned about the UFC. The UFC gets more fans. Why? Not because straight up, at the end of the day, two skilled people are going in there, and more times than not, the most skilled person gets the win. More times than not. In boxing, that's becoming a rarity. That's becoming a rarity nowadays, where it's starting to get ridiculous. They're clinging on to a few names here and there. And now in between, with how stacked the UFC roster is, almost every other weekend they have a fight, and it's a fight you kind of want to pay attention to. Boxing, they don't have that. So what are they going to do now? What are they going to do? Now they're going to, again, they're going to get a dude. They're going to pull him out who can't throw a punch. He can't. And if anyone saw that Deji fight, the KSI fight. If anyone saw that fight and you're looking at him and you're saying, you know what? This kid got to be entertaining in the ring. That's just absurd, man. That's absurd. Yeah. That's the equivalent.
You look at it like that, though.
JJ, that's like getting a...
That's like trying to wrap it up like this.
You're the only one looking at it like that, bro. One looking at a title fight. You're really looking
joke.
At this like
it's
a
title joke.
Fight.
And if you like
yeah,
it,
it's
that's
a joke,
fine.
Bro,
in your corner, but it's a
it's
joke.
It's money, bro. And
it's
that's
a joke.
What this is all about. It's all about money. It's all about
it's a joke.
I will say this. I will say this.
They sold 1.9 pay-per-view.
It's a joke.
1.9 million in pay-per-view sales.
It's a joke.
So regardless of it being a joke, it's
a joke.
Made money.
It's a joke.
That's what this is about.
And they didn't make money because
like
if
that.
You look
okay.
at the receipts, they actually
like
lost
that.
Money because they had to pay out everybody
like
else.
That.
So that pay-per-view that everyone
what?
Was like, okay, Jake Paul brought this
about?
Money, it wasn't
what?
That good because of all the money
what?
They had to pay out, they actually lost money.
Hey, pull
but
up
again,
those
you don't
pull
know. You, all you do is just look at
the
numbers. You know it all.
If you're a fight game guy, you like this fight. If you're a boxing guy, it's just blah to you. I get it. If you're like fighting, watch it. It'll be okay. Nonetheless, guys, I'm very excited. I want to transition to tomorrow's show because the NFL draft is
coming from
tomorrow, and it's
the time
of the NFL season. I mean, granted, I love the season itself, but the draft, I think, really starts it. Like, I think you got off seasons and people go here and there, but I feel like when the draft starts, that's when I feel like the NFL is here. You know, and what we did with up here, you know, the Stir the Pot crew, we did a little thinking in our labs. We pulled our notebooks out, and we want to predict our first six picks on the draft. You know, we'll see who's accurate. And, you know, the guys sent me their drafts beforehand, and I saw that none of us have a same draft, a duplicate one. So one of us is going to be right, someone's going to be wrong, or all three of us are going to be wrong. So that's pretty cool. So who wants it? Who wants to go first?
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Pete. Take it over. Go ahead, Sander.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, 1 through 6. Whew. You know, everybody and their moms and their grandmas and their great grandmas have number one, Lawrence Sunshine Boy, the savior in Jacksonville. So that's a given. I'm going to give Jacksonville that because, to be honest, they can't mess this up. Like, there's so much pressure on them to pick Lawrence that I think they already got jerseys made and already on purchase for these fans to have this Lawrence jersey. So I already know for sure he's going over there. Number two, the Jets are convinced with Zach Wilson. That's their guy. I'm letting you know right now, Jets fans, don't expect any winning anytime soon. This is a project, 2 to 3 years. But Zach Wilson's your guy. All right. Number three, and I'm praying San Fran doesn't mess this up, because a guy like Justin Fields, in that type of climate, with that offensive system, with Kyle Shanahan and those players on offense and that defense with Bosa, that's a legit team that with Justin Fields and possibly like a year of learning under Garoppolo, that can be something. You could possibly see the Mahomes effect kind of where, you know, they sit behind Garoppolo and he learns and then he takes over next season. So I'm hoping San Fran doesn't mess this up. Atlanta, they're going to have to settle for Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I think Mac Jones is going to be the pick for Atlanta. You know, I think he'll be more equipped to learn in that system and learn under Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan's not going anywhere for a few years. Matt Ryan's contract is crazy, so they're not going to let him go. I think, you know, Mac Jones will learn under Matt Ryan a little bit. Cincinnati, they're going to have to protect this. They're going to have to protect this kid. I forgot his name. Jesus Christ. Burrow. Hey, they're going to have to protect Burrow. So I think Cincinnati's going to end up picking Sewell
you know, to protect them. They saw what, you know, what an offensive lineman can do in the draft, and they're going to go for it. And Miami, I don't have Trey Lance. I had the wide receiver from Alabama. I think the wide receiver from Alabama, the one that won the Heisman, he's going to be – I think Devontae Smith is going to be the best pick for Miami, so they could, you know, give Tua Tagovailoa a weapon to, you know, so he could work with. So I think that's how my six are going to go.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So number one for me, I got Sunshine. I just think they like him. They want the moxie he brings. When you hear the word generational throne about a guy before he even plays a snap, more times than not, whoever has the number one overall pick, they're going to grab him. 9 times out of 10. The one time out of 10, you get Jamarcus Russell. So I just think right now they're going to grab him. It's kind of just like a de facto type of thing. Same thing with number two with Zach Wilson going to New York. Now, I don't know what New York sees in this kid. I'm trying not to be mean to him, because for me, I think Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are going to be fighting to see who is the best quarterback in this draft. They're going to be fighting for it. So I don't know what Zach Wilson has. I don't know if he somehow got into this organization. Maybe he decided to wife up like the coach's daughter or something, and they decided to bring him. I don't know. I don't know what they got going on with him. For some reason, they fiended over him real bad. So I'm like, yo, this is the same organization that traded away Sam Darnold to make room for him. So you might as well get him. Now, number three, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I kind of don't understand where all this nonsense about, you know, Trey Lance and Mac Jones being on the 49ers. I'm hoping and praying that's just like some smokescreen they're throwing up. Because honestly, what the Niners really need is a quarterback that they can plug in. Let's say Jimmy G goes down, a quarterback they can plug in that can try to keep this thing going. And the only quarterback who can do that outside of Trevor Lawrence is Justin Fields. He's the only other dude you can plug into that system on that team with those weapons and that personnel. He's the only quarterback you can really plug in there and be like, okay, he's out, let's say, 3 games. Can you keep us afloat and have us go 2-1? And of all the guys in this draft outside of Trevor Lawrence, he's the only one who can do that. Then there's number four, the Falcons, which if they don't get a quarterback, I don't know what really is going on with that organization, in all honesty. I'll take Mac Jones. The only reason I have Mac Jones is he's more of like a couple-year project, but that's fine. It's no big deal considering with this they're paying this man so much money that unless he's throwing a pick every other play, they're not going to bench Matt Ryan.
What do you think about them trading Julio? They're talking about trading Julio. Probably. What do you think about that?
Who's he going to go to? That's all, because there's nobody has. First of all, I don't think they're going to trade Julio. They want to, but I don't think they're going to. But they can't, because where is he going to go? Who has something that they want?
Because it would affect the fourth pick, I think.
Maybe. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you get rid of him, it's basically them trading down, which they will have to get like two first round picks and then like 2/3 or something along those lines. I just don't see. I get it. They want to move on from him, which I understand. But at the same time, there's no logical suit out there, because supposedly, and with the Ravens, I don't know, because if he goes to the Ravens again, what are they going to have to give up for him? Because again, they're not asking for pennies. They understand Julio is still a talent. So they're not just going to throw him away for nothing. They're not just going to be like, okay, go ahead, go elsewhere. So it's more along how much are they going to give? And the Ravens are not going to want to give up a lot at all. They're not going to want to. So I think it's going to be a little iffy for them. But for three, I got Fields to the for four, I got Mac Jones going to Atlanta. Five, I got Kyle Pitts going to the Bengals. Now, everyone keeps saying about the whole notion about how the Cincinnati's O-line kind of let Joe Burrow down. But I'm not fully blaming that line. I'm not fully – this. A lot of the sacks he had were, I'm going to call, Russell Wilson sacks, where you try to make something out of the play. You run, you hold on to the ball too long, and then you get hit. obviously it's still registered as a sack. So on paper, on its face value, people think, oh my God, this O-line is good. I'm not going to say they're the best. They're okay line-ish, maybe a little under that, if you want to say. But a lot of his sacks came because he was trying to elongate the play. He was trying to stretch it out, and he was trying to make a home run play. If you give him a guy, because think about it, they already said in terms of, like, their receivers, or at least I think so. I think they're fine in terms of receivers. They have – I mean, picture this. They got four tight ends on that roster. Not one of them is a legit starting roster in the NFL. Let that sink in. You somehow got four tight ends, and not one of them is starting material.
It's legit, yeah. It's like the Patriots last year.
Yeah, so exactly. That's straight up what it is. We had a few, and not a single one was starting worthy. Now you got a guy like Kyle Pitts. It gives Joe Burrow another weapon. The kid Lowry loves flinging the ball. He already utterly adores flinging the ball.
And let's not act like adding Kyle Pitts wouldn't be another pass blocker as well, right?
Exactly, yeah. And on top of that, he don't mind pass blocking either, so that definitely would help. And then number six, right? Maybe it's just me. I like Tua, right? I do. And I want to see him succeed, right? So enter Devontae Smith. This man, a Heisman winner, who can run crisp routes. That right there is going to be – a lot of people are saying, oh, he's undersized. I'm like, look, man, you could be 5'5". If you can give me the cleanest route I've ever seen in my life, I'll take you one – I'll take you 10 out of 8 times. I don't care what nobody says. And my man, he's got speed, and he's a tough dude. Because I've seen him take a couple licks to the chops and spring up like nothing. And I'm like, man, I wish I could take only half that hit. You feel me? Because if that would, bro, I wouldn't be scared of my mom at all. But this kid is tough. This dude got speed. I 110%. I think him in Miami with Tua, them two building a young connection, I think it'll look nice. Kind of the same thing in Cincinnati. But me saying Kyle Pitts go there, him and Joe Burrow, two young dudes onto the next generation of this team. Like, again, I it's kind of offense heavy for me. But again, this draft is kind of, in terms of like the top, you could say like the top 10. At least 7 of them are probably going to be offensive players.
Cool. Hey, I like your top 6 too. I think both of you guys 6 could both be pretty damn good. You know, either one of you guys could hit it. So let me give you guys mine. You know, I'm just like you guys too. I'm going to go with the information that's given. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to go 1 and 2. It feels like it's been like that forever. I honestly don't understand the obsession for Wilson at 2 when I think Fields would be a better option. Mac Jones rivals him, and Trey Lance. Really, it's just whatever you think of him. Like, if you're willing to give him a chance, I think that he could possibly be better than Zach Wilson. But that leaves me at 3. You know, I do think that Mac Jones is going to end up in San Francisco for the very fact that I feel like Mac Jones, he's more ready to plug and play than Justin Fields is right now. Like, I do feel like Justin Fields could arguably be the better player long-wise. But I do feel like Mac Jones could learn it quicker and be better earlier. But that's a discussion for another day. We'll find out tomorrow night. I just think that Mac Jones, if you see his tape at Alabama, dude, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks. He was flawless all year. He was great. I like Mac Jones. I do like Justin Fields as well. I think that either one of them will flourish in that system. I think whoever lands there is going to win the draft, personally. That's what I think between those two guys. Trey Lance could possibly land there, but that's a guy that I really do have a big question mark on. I'm not sure. But number 4, I think that Kyle Pitts is just going to land there. I don't think they're going to look for a quarterback because they honestly can't afford to have another quarterback on that roster. Matt Ryan's making too much money. A first-round quarterback makes a lot of money on the cap either way. Not as much as franchise making money, obviously. But, you know, if you give Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts in that offense, if they do in fact move Julio, they still got Gage, they still got Ridley, so it would just be another piece. But I do think that they'll be nicely offensive regardless of what happens. Number 5, Penei Sewell to the Bengals. You know, we both, Sandra, you mentioned they got to protect Joe Burrow. I think you had a point too, Pride, in the sense that he does run around and he doesn't get himself in trouble. But I do think that protecting the franchise guy is important early in his development. So just get him a tackle, get that out of the way, because when there's a guy there and you can get him early, just get him. And at number 6, Pride, I would love to see Tua throw into Devontae Smith again, because it was my favorite thing to see in Alabama. But ever since the draft came out and, you know, these combine guys, analytical nerds came out talking about Devontae Smith's height and weight and how he's small. And even though he got big hands, whatever. I think Devontae Smith is great. I think this is going to get inside Miami's head because at six, I think they're going to grab Ja'Marr Chase, who used to play alongside Justin Jefferson, who now plays for the Minnesota Vikings. And how good was Justin Jefferson last year? Pretty damn good. Rookie of the year. Ja'Marr Chase looked better alongside him with Joe Burrow. So I'm not saying that he's a better receiver than Devontae because I think they're 1A to each other. I think they're both pretty damn good. But, you know, Chase just has the more NFL-ready body, and I think that alongside that – and come on, this kid caught 20 touchdowns in college a couple years ago. He's great himself. I think you can't go wrong with either receiver at six if you're Miami. But I do think that Miami's going to cave and go with Ja'Marr Chase.
I have a question, though.
Hold on. I will say this, though. If Tua had a little more pull in the franchise, he might get Devontae there. But go ahead, Sander.
I do have a question because you say, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is more ready, NFL ready. You are convinced that are you convinced that Mac Jones is more ready to plug in and play than Justin Fields, who Pride and I, we can agree that he's probably the best talent in quarterback in the entire draft. So you're saying that Mac Jones is more ready?
I used to feel like in Carolina, in San Francisco with Shanahan and that West Coast, I just feel like Mac Jones is the guy. I just feel like he would fit. In my mind, I used to know he would fit. I'm not sure if Justin Fields will fit. And that question mark to me is why I'm like,
how?
I'm not sure.
Because
I don't know. It's a good thing. It's an eyeball thing. It's just one of those things that you can't explain that only your eyeballs could tell you. And maybe that's not a credible answer, but my eyeball test just tells me that I just feel Mac Jones will succeed quicker than Fields would.
Are you saying that because you think Mac Jones is better? Or are you just saying because you think the last name Jones on a 49ers jersey looks cleaner than Fields?
I think they're both clean, honestly. I think both 49ers jerseys would look fresh.
You're saying the eyeballs. I'm kind of confused.
I'm going to tell you this. My eyeball tells me that Mac Jones is a better thrower than Justin Fields going into the NFL. I think that Justin Fields, his ceiling as in mobility and stuff, is what gives him the edge in the long term than Justin Fields. But I think that Mac Jones throws it better than Justin Fields going into the draft.
I think Justin Fields is better than Lamar Jackson.
I mean, we'll see how he plays in the NFL because that's yet to be determined. But nonetheless, guys, I'm ready for tomorrow's draft night. Like I said, it's my favorite time of the year come NFL time, besides the regular season, obviously. They just feel like this is the launch-off party to the year because everybody gets their brand-new toys from college. And it's like Christmas morning. I'm excited. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our website, clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And Spotify, CMG Sports, and Stir the Pot Sports are coming right up, guys. Like I said, I'm very excited for tomorrow. Draft time. Can't wait.
It's going to be an interesting night, especially with that 49ers pick. I need to see what's cracking over there, bro.
And to be honest, the draft starts at 3 because everybody knows 1 and 2 already. So really at 3,
that's when we all got our eyeballs. If San Fran messes up, if Fields go past 6 or 7, I see the Patriots possibly moving up and grabbing them.
Hey, you never know. Anything can happen. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, along Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. We'll see you on Friday.
My brain's saying go Whitaker, my heart's saying go Gastelum, so I'm going to go Gastelum.
I got to tell you, your words confuse me.
I'm standing there with the bat, and then here comes this Bugs Bunny pitch. Oh. Where is this going?
I I like it because he makes some sense right until like the last 4 or 5 seconds, and then everything goes different than what he just said, and a different name comes out of his mouth.
Throwing Jabs, available for download on your favorite podcast platform.